this point, our junior church is dismissed. We got something special for you kiddos next door. The rest of you, grab your Bibles, please. Be in the book of Matthew, chapter 13. If you continue on looking at the red letters, looking at the words of Christ, and that we may know him more. You know, the Bible says that all scripture is given by inspiration of God. And so, all of God's word is all of God's word. And so, but in here, so they're talking about our love for the Lord, and so many people talk about knowing the Lord. Oh, I love Jesus, but really don't know what he has said. I'm surprised. I don't often get my doctrine from Facebook. And I'm amazed that sometimes, you know, conversations, and I kind of get addicted of reading the comments. And it's almost like watching a train wreck sometimes, you know? And so I probably shouldn't do it. But I'm just like looking at some of what people say. And oftentimes with Christians, what they do is they'll get accusatory. They say, well, what kind of Christian are you? Right? Jesus would have, and I'm reading some of these, and I'm like, no, Jesus, you read his words. And Jesus was challenging to those of faith. You know, and he loved the sinner. But in here, ask them to turn from their sin. And in here, he empowers us. And I'm thankful for his grace. Because, you know, I think that sort of the standard is here. And I fall short. The Bible says all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. I can't do it. I can't pick myself by my bootstraps. I can't be good enough. But his grace is sufficient. That when I fall short, he forgives. And he presses on, and, you know, I'm not what I'm going to be, but I'm not what I used to be. And God works in us as we follow him. And so Jesus was talking about, the, you know, sort of the struggle he had with the religious leaders in chapter 12. And he ended up in, remember last week, that he talks about, look, that we are part of the family of God. If you've accepted Christ as your Savior, you love him and follow him, you are one of his children. And all that goes along with that, that Christianity isn't necessarily a religion, it's about a relationship. You know, if you've got kids, and you know, you ever give them an assignment? Actually, I saw someone posted a meme on Facebook, and it said, this is how our parents text growing up, and there's an envelope written on it, this house better be clean when I get home, otherwise you're going to get a whooping. And I'm like, yeah, that's how I was raised. And, you know, and so in here, there's that standard. And I know as a young child, you know, trying to do a job, and whether it was mowing the lawn, and I messed up. I remember once my stepfather just got a riding lawnmower, which all was, we thought that was the best thing in the world. And because growing up, we had four boys in the house. And so we didn't have all the sort of luxury, you know, we didn't have snowblowers. Someone said, oh, you should get a snowblower. He goes, I got four kids. They can go out. So we were the snowblower. And we would go out and shovel the door, you know, door yard. Our neighbor had a plow truck. And so we'd go out there and act like we were dying and struggling. So he'd come over and plow us out. We were just, you know, and he was, you know, because we thought we were clever. So we were like, oh, this is and thought, hoping he'd have mercy on us. And every once in a while, he'd come over laughing because, you know, he knew what we were doing. And he'd sweep out. But most of the time, he'd just wave. Right? We were the snowblower. But we wouldn't always do the best job because we were kids. I remember we got the Ryan lawnmower. And I was so excited in there because I was doing figure eights and stuff in the, you know, mowing the lawn. I thought, this is great. Woo! You know, I was like doing all that. Well, my stepfather was not impressed because he liked his yard. You know, he had a certain lap we were supposed to have over and everything go in the right direction. And he came home. And I thought, well, you know, once we went over it all, I thought he wouldn't be able to see all the little things we were doing. Right? And so we weren't doing perfect because we were just kids. We were trying. But we're easily distracted. It wasn't my fault that the Ryan lawnmower went fast and it was fun, right? That's not my fault. And yet, you know, we were corrected, but we lived another day, right? And it's the grace. And as God's children, he loves us, and we struggle, and we let him down. but he still loves us. And that's an amazing thing. And so in chapter 13, Jesus starts shifting gears. The religious leaders were in conflict with Jesus, and in there rejected his message. And so Jesus starts changing tactics, if you will. And starting in chapter 13, Jesus goes through a series of parables. And so actually he starts off in chapter 13 with the parable of the sower. And we're going to look at that next week, because then in verse 10, disciples come to him. Right? Because this is a new style. Jesus talked very plainly up to this point. And then in chapter 13, he starts talking about parables. And they're like, whoa, 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 Jesus, what are you doing? Right? And in verse 10, he says, look, the disciples came to him and says, why do you speak in parables? Why all of a sudden now this shakeup? Why is the teaching style different? Now, of course, I remember the adage is, what is a parable? And the most common sort of thought is, it's an earthly story with a heavenly meaning. It's a common story of common everyday things that has a spiritual connotation to it. I really love the parables. I'm a very visual person. I don't know if anyone else is that way. If you're trying to explain something to me, I'm picturing it in my mind. If I'm trying to explain something to you, it's very common for me. I'll grab a piece of paper and kind of draw things out. And that's not really to help you. That's just how I process things. So when Jesus starts telling these stories and these illustrations, it helps me to kind of open my eyes of what he's talking about. And maybe some of you are that way. Some of you are just kind of, what's the facts? Right? We're all kind of wired a little different. So some of you are like, I just like the facts. You know, the Apostle Paul doesn't tell stories. The Apostle Paul just says, this is it. And so maybe some of you that gears up that way. But Jesus starts going through and relating these stories that have a deeper meaning behind them. And so the disciples were like, Jesus, whoa, 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 why don't you just tell us? And actually, some of the parables Jesus actually does explain. When the disciples were afterwards with the crowd, he taught in a parable. And then Jesus took them aside afterwards. And they're like, Jesus, we don't get it. And Jesus said, okay, let me explain. And he would. He would go and elaborate some of those things. And we have that. Actually, the first parable we're going to look at next week is the parable of the sower. And Jesus explains that. And so in the later part of Jesus' ministry, parables became a very prominent part of how he taught. Roughly, you go throughout the Gospels, I think we have recorded roughly about 35 different parables that Jesus shared. Some of them a little longer. Some of them are very short. But to help us kind of understand, and we're going to look at that. And Jesus goes on to explain to them why he's doing this different teaching style. And I think it's important for us to look at those things. So I wanted to look at this sort of an introduction into the parables before we got into them. And the first thing we look at, Jesus started teaching them this way because it was for them to know the truth. It wasn't for everyone. Look what Jesus says here in verse 11. It says, and he answered and said to them, because it has been given to you to know the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven, but to them it has not been given. And anyone who has kind of been around for a little while, the Bible talks about this idea of a mystery. And what's a mystery? And this isn't like the Sherlock Holmes, dum, 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 right? That's sort of the mystery the Bible talks about. Actually, when they use the word mystery, this is something that hasn't been revealed before. So this is sort of new information. So when Jesus comes in here, he starts talking about the kingdom of heaven or kingdom of God. And he's starting to lay down information to them that they didn't have before. The Apostle Paul uses this term oftentimes because God used Paul to relate doctrine and truths for the church that didn't exist before. So this is a mystery, I think, about the rapture of the church. The Apostle Paul says, look, behold, I show you a mystery. We will not all sleep, but we will all be changed. Right? We talk about the rapture of the church, which I believe is going to happen sooner than later, especially the way this world is going. But a mystery, when we talk about this, is some knowledge that isn't revealed before. So Jesus is laying down some new information, kind of opening their eyes to some truths that were hidden before. And he tells his disciples, look, it's for you to know it. You are my followers. And those who have rejected, remember at this point, Jesus had been teaching and religious leaders had rejected Jesus, actually so much so, that they said, look, this guy is of the devil. And they rejected him and his teaching. And Jesus says, look, it's not for them. And so as you look at these things today, if we are a follower of Jesus Christ, these things are written for us to understand. And sometimes, you know, the world looks at these parables, look at these stories, and they kind of scratch their head. I was at Bangor Seminary. They're having a book sale of their library, and I was down there checking things out because I tend to like books. And I went there, and I was talking to a gentleman who was part of the seminary, and he asked me what church I belonged to, and I told him. And he goes, oh, are you one of those guys that believe the Bible? I was like, here's the seminary guy. I was like, yeah, I'm one of those guys. And he goes, well, you take the Bible literally? I love the little, you know. And I was like, yeah, I take the Bible literally. He goes, well, Jesus said he was a door. Do you ever think Jesus was a door? Was he an oak door or was he a pine door? What kind of door was he? And I was like, seriously? I was like, I said, you know what? I try to take the scripture as a, I say, I have terminology. I don't say I take it literally. I take it as a natural reading because there are illustrations and similes and metaphors. There are parables where Jesus is talking, where Jesus says he's talking about a door. He's trying to make a greater point, right? But this guy thought he was so clever. Oh, you take the Bible literally? Oh, Jesus was a door. I'm like, all right, come on. And there are those that hear the truth and reject it. And this isn't for them. This isn't for them. The message for those who aren't followers of Christ is to follow Christ. That he died on the cross for their sin. That message becomes clear throughout the gospel. But there are other things that talk about future things. There's moral things. There's some other things that Jesus has taken as he's teaching these parables. Basically, for those who want to learn, those who want to know. John tells us this. He says, and no longer do I call you servants. This is quoting Jesus. For a servant does not know what his master is doing, but I have called you friends. For all the things I have heard from my Father, I have made known to you. That there is so much information that God wants us to have if we will seek out his word and we will study it. You know, I was a Christian when I was 5 years old, gave my life to the Lord. I grew up in church. You know what? And there's still new things I discover every day as I look into his word. Right? The word of God is living. And there's things that I understand. And there's things that I understand more now that I didn't, and there's some things that I thought I had all worked out, and I'm like, oh, maybe not. Right? God's always working in us to reveal in us, but there is so much in God's word that you can search your whole life and not know it all. Jesus tells us, but the Helper, the Holy Spirit, whom my Father will send in my name, he will teach you all things and bring you to remembrance all the things that I have said to you. That when Jesus went away, he gave us the Holy Spirit. And one of the jobs of the Holy Spirit is to reveal these truths. It's interesting how it works. Because I have an old Bible that I had when I was in college. And I was going through some things in college and just really wrestling with things. And I remember going into that, each room at Liberty University, each room had sort of a chapel room. There was a place where you could go and pray. And so I remember being in there, and I had my Bible, and I was just weeping before the Lord, and I was reading the scriptures, and I was marking. I was like, oh, wow, this is some really rich thing. God's really speaking to me through his word. And I marked it, and I highlighted it, and I found such relief. And I left there just knowing I've been with God, and God spoke to me through his words. Years later, I was going through and I found that Bible I had that I opened it up and I was looking at some of the passages that I marked. And I'm like, why did I mark that? Right? It was so rich to me at that point. But now,
It didn't have that same weight. God was using me at that time with that word to speak to me. And now there's somewhere else I look through it, and it becomes richer. Because God's word is living, and the Holy Spirit will reveal things to us. It's ever changing. Not that God's word changes, but his impact on me, and I change. It's interesting, the Bible talks about that, you know, the marriage relationship is a type of Christ in the church. And I remember being young and reading that and saying, oh yeah, I got that. Then I got married. Oh, yeah, that makes a lot more sense, right? Because I had changed. And now I read the scriptures different. When the Bible talks about that God, our Father, and we are his children, right? They became all different thing when I became a father. And I had my own child. And my eyes were opened to new avenues of truth within God's word. Because God changed me. And he gives us the Holy Spirit. And God wants to reveal these things to us. And so as we read these parables, there are truths here that God's going to reveal to us. Because it's for us to know. Those that love him, he will reveal more to. As we approach these parables, these stories, say, okay, Lord, show me the truth. Show me what you're saying. Open my eyes. Because I want to hear. So not only do we look at this, we see that it's for us to know. As Christians, his word is for us. It's a love letter to us. It's a manual for us to follow. And it's funny because the world just kind of poo-poos. Unless they want to use it for something. I always find it interesting that, you know, will it be a politician or whether it's someone else who wants me to kind of fall in line with them, all of a sudden they'll quote the Bible. Well, Christians, you know, the Bible says blah, blah, blah. You don't really care what the Bible says. You're just trying to get me to do what you want, right? But the Word of God becomes that richness for us who are believers. It becomes that path that we follow as he reveals himself to us. Second thing we look at with these teachings in here, that there's an example of hearing God's word and doing it. That for us, it's given to us if we are hearing God's word, and what do we do with it? Matthew, once again, in chapter 13, starting at verse 12, says this, and it says, for whoever has, to him more will be given. And he will have abundance. But whoever does not have, even what he has will be taken away from him. Therefore I speak to them in parables, because seeing they do not see, and hearing they do not hear, nor do they understand. Right, Jesus had already, to the religious leaders, has given so much. He had talked plainly and taught them so much, and yet they rejected it. And Jesus kind of says, look, my disciples who are following me, they are hearing God's word, and they are doing it, and so I'm going to give them more. But those who are rejecting my word and not doing it, why give them more? Right? Why give them more if they're not already doing what I've asked them to do? I always kind of liken this idea of anyone who's had children, you know, and you give them the food, here's your supper, and they want more. They're like, wait a minute, eat what you got. Right? Eat what you got. You know, here's a healthy plate of food, and, you know, things are different now because, you know, a lot of homes kind of run more of a restaurant. Each family member gets their own little favorite and all that. Growing up, right? I think we all kind of grew up the same way, right? There's a meme, I think, that sums it up really well, that said in our house there's, you know, two things on the menu, take it or leave it. And actually leaving it wasn't even an option in our house. You know, my mom said, look, I worked hard to make this. You will eat some. We didn't have to have heaps of it, but we had to have a little bit of everything. She worked for art, and we were supposed to eat it. And I thought I was be all smart, and I got a little older, and I mouthed back a little bit more than I should. And I told my mom, I said, ew, and I wasn't a big mashed potatoes guy. Actually, I wasn't a big potatoes guy. We live in the county. So we had potatoes every meal. So one day I was like,
Mom, I don't want this. And she goes, you're going to sit here until it's gone. I'm like, I'll show you. And I got all stubborn. I sat there. And everyone got up, and I was there. And so I was like, all right. So they're all watching TV, and I sat there, and I got stubborn. Can you picture that? You know? And I got stubborn, and next thing I know, it's bedtime. I was like, all right. So I went to bed. I got up the next morning for breakfast. My mashed potatoes is sitting there. And I don't think they sat all night, but they came out of the fridge, and Mom's like, here you go. I couldn't out-stubborn my mom. And she goes, this is it. And if you know what? If I don't eat that, when I come home from school, guess what my snack will be? Right? She's like, and we didn't have microwaves back then. So things weren't reheated. So I learned, you know what? I was going to learn to take it. But we approach God's word. And sometimes we're like, God, I want this great revelation. Lord, teach me something new. And God says, you know what? You're not even doing what you know. Why should I give you more? And God wants us to be hearers and doers of the word. Actually, the book of James wraps that up and says this. But be doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving yourselves. For if anyone is a hearer of the word and not a doer, he's like a man observing his natural face in a mirror. For he observes himself, goes away, and immediately forgets what kind of man he was. But he who looks into the perfect law of liberty and continues in it is not forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work. This one will be blessed in what he does. To be hearers and doers. You know, if we were to, Zach, I'm getting dangerous here. I'm going to make a sports illustration. We all know how me and sports. Sports is my life. But I tell you something. As we gather here this morning and I'm preaching to you, this is not the game. The game is when you leave here. The game is your real life. This is kind of like the halftime pep talk. Here's the sports thing, right? We've all gathered in off the field, and you've been in your workplaces, you've been with your families, you've been in this world. And now we're coming together, and this is the chance for us to kind of look into the Word and say, rah, 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 and my job is to encourage you and strengthen you in the Word to send you back out into it. Did that work, Zach? Right? Okay, good. All right? I encourage you to go back into the game. To strengthen your spirit. To correct some things along the way. But we got to take those things and go back into the field and do it. That we are accountable for what we hear. And somehow we turn around and say, God, show me more. And God says, like, no, you work on what you already know. And as we do this, God will turn around and show us more, reveal more to us as we follow him. Book of Hebrews. The writer here challenges the believers. He says, though by this time you ought to be teachers, you need someone to teach you again the first principles of the oracles of God. And you have come to need milk and not solid food. For everyone who partakes only of milk is unskilled in the words of righteousness, for he is a babe. But solid food belongs to those who are full age, that is, those who by reason use their senses to exercise to discern both good and evil. That look, he challenges these believers and says, look, that some of you should be teaching. You've been in church long enough. You've been a Christian long enough that you should know more things. And you should be able to teach and explain them to other people. But because you haven't been doing it, he goes, you guys are like babes. And you can't handle some more substantial things in the Word. Just like a baby, you know, you don't give the little kid a steak. Because they're not ready for it. And he says, so take these things and exercise them, put them into work in your life, and then you'll grow and do more. And I'll show you more. we were in school,
because we were going to nursing homes and jails and other things like that. And, you know, the only thing worse than my sports knowledge is my music knowledge. I'm not very musical at all. And, yeah, I was like, you know what, I need a guitar. And so, look, that way I'd go in there, we could play, have music wherever we go, so it became a real handy thing. So, actually, one of the teachers in school, I bought a guitar off him, and I brought it home, and it didn't do anything all by itself. So I picked it up, a book, and I tried to do a few things on it, and it didn't work right. I think I bought a broken guitar. And so one of the guys in school is a good Christian friend, great at music. And so I go over to him, I say, will you teach me to play guitar? He says, sure, come on over. So I go over there, and he lays this book in front of me called Music Theory. And he starts drawing these circles. And he starts talking about chords and the first, third, and fifth. And he starts talking, I'm just like, I don't want a math lesson. I just want to learn to play guitar. You know, I was like, show me how. And he goes, well, this is what you need to understand. I said, no, just show me how to do the up and down thing. And so he kind of rolled his eyes. He goes, you know, I can show you a few chords. Yeah, that's what I want. I want to learn a few chords. And so he started talking about the one, two, threes, and all. I'm like, no, I just show me. So he took my fingers and put them on the thing, and they hurt. And so you're pushing down on that, and he goes, you'll build calluses up. I'm like, okay. And so he's like, so strum according to the beat. And I have no beat. I have no rhythm. And he goes, it just sounds right. I said, no, it doesn't. And he goes, look. And so he pulls out another chart. And he goes, oh, it's up, up. No, look at me, up, up. Down, down, up. Down, down, up. And you got to count to four and hold your fingers. And I'm just like, no, just show me how to play. He's like, John, I am. See, I just wanted the shortcut. And to this day, I can play maybe one or two songs. I know a few chords. But I have like two guitars. Because I think, oh, well, this one didn't work. Maybe I'll buy another one and it'll play itself better. And it doesn't. Every once in a while, I'll break it out. I said, oh, because, you know. But I don't understand all the whys behind it. And because of that, right, I'm a babe in guitar playing. I know there's six strings. I can tune it with a little tuner machine. That was the other thing he was trying to tell me. We can hold your finger here, hit this string and this string, and it should sound the same. I didn't have time for that. I just want the shortcut. And I think sometimes as Christians, we kind of want the shortcut. Give me the greater knowledge. Show me all these enlightened things. I want to understand all the things about the rapture. I want to understand all these deep, dark secrets of God. And God's like, look, you don't even understand the basics I've given you. And the only way we do that is by hearing and doing. The last thing you look at this, it says, Jesus is teaching and giving this information to you because you're open to it. Look what he says here, Matthew 13. And then the prophecies of Isaiah is fulfilled, which says, hearing you will hear and shall not understand, and seeing you will see and not perceive. For the hearts of this people have grown dull, their ears are hard of hearing, and their eyes have been closed. Yet they should see with their eyes and hear with their hearts, lest they should understand with their hearts and turn, so that I should heal them. As we approach God in his word, we got to be open to say, Lord, speak to me. And you know what? Sometimes when God speaks words of encouragement to me, and I like those. But sometimes the word of God tells me I need to change. It corrects me. And I don't like those passages as much. And I have a choice. I can be offended by God's word, and I can reject it. But that's not going to get me anywhere. Or I can say, Lord, speak to me. And have your perfect way in my life. And let him change me. That's really the choice. Here are people where Jesus said, look, he laid out the truth and they rejected it. They saw but didn't see. They heard but didn't listen. Sounds like teenagers. Right? You ever have a kid? Didn't they tell you blah, blah, blah? Yeah, okay.
Lord, help me to be receptive. Help me to learn.
The first time I met Cindy's dad, like I said, my father-in-law, I love my father-in-law. And I pulled into the dooryard and I had steam coming out underneath my hood. And so that's not a good sign. So I pull in and I pop the hood and I had steam and my, you know, somewhere I had antifreeze leaking and hitting the motor and all that. And her dad, I don't know if you remember this, your dad came out. He goes, "Can I give you a hand?" And I was like, "Yeah, I could use a hand." So I went over, and so he came over and he goes, "Oh, well, here's your problem. And here's this hose and all that." And so he started walking me through and he goes, "You know, we can change this." I said, "Oh, really?" So actually he drove me out and actually got the new hose and came back and he had the tools and he goes, "Well, that was just," and he's walking me through the whole thing and we're hooking it all up and it was all done. We finished it up. Nothing bonds better for guys than fixing something together. And it was funny because when it was all said and done, and years later we were talking, and at this point Cindy and I were married, and he goes, "I knew you were the one for my daughter." And I was like, "Oh." I said, "Why?" He goes, "Remember the first time we met?" Yeah, car problems. He goes, "Here you were, I was 18 at the time." And he goes, "You listened to me." He goes, "As I was trying to explain and talk," he goes, "you listened." I said, "Yeah, because I didn't know what I was doing." You know? He goes, "Yeah," but he goes, I can't tell you what kind of impact that made on me, that this young man was listening to this guy. And he goes, "I knew you were one for my daughter." I said, "Your daughter didn't know that for a while. I had to chase her pretty hard." I chased her. She started to run slower because I think she wanted to get caught. But her dad knew right off the bat. Are we humble enough as we approach God's word and say, "God, you speak to me. Change what you need to change. Show me." And he does. And he reveals new things to us continually as we follow him. Jeremiah gives us this promise. This is, "Then you will call upon me and go and pray to me, and I will listen to you, and you will seek me and find me when you search for me with your whole heart." Folks, God wants to be found. We just got to recognize him. "Speak to me, Lord. Have your perfect work in my life." James tells us, "If any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask of God, who gives to all liberally and without reproach, and it will be given to him." Lord, speak to me. I don't know what to do. God will show you. If we humble ourselves to him, be available, be open to what he has to say for us, and he will work in our lives. And lastly, Jesus wraps this idea here up in verse 16 and 17. He says, "But blessed are your eyes, for they see, and your ears, for they hear. For surely I say to you that many prophets and righteous men desire to see what you see and did not see it, and to hear what you hear and did not hear it." Jesus says, "You're blessed because you get to have this information that I'm laying on you." And folks, we are so blessed to have so much knowledge. There are people around the world and throughout history there were times where people did not have the Word of God. You know what? I have a shelf full of Bibles. I am without excuse. Right? I could be anywhere, in any place, and I can pull out this little gadget here, and I have the Bible in whatever translation I want. I have commentaries. Actually, I have a Bible program that I have, almost 1,500 books in this Bible program. And you know what? I can download it all on here. I am without excuse. I can read prophecies and see their fulfillments in Scripture. I can see God's work in my life and give him all the praise for it. I can follow him in all these things. Folks, we are without excuse. And God will show and he will reveal all these things to us if we will follow him. Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. Lord, help me heed your word and help me do it. Let it have its perfect way in our lives. Let's pray. Our dear Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank you for your word and encourage us and strengthen us by it, Lord. Lord, help us to be doers of the word. Lord, it's not a book to be just memorized, but Lord, it's a manual to be applied. Lord, have your perfect way in our life, Lord. We ask this in your name. Amen.